And there are, again, surveys to confirm that, that most people in that time frame or in that time period believed in this idea of God created the world in six literal days. There is, however, a connection between people that believe that God created the world in six literal days, people that believe that God created the world through the process of evolution, and atheists. You know what happens? The atheist line is going up. The bottom line, which is, you know, most people believing in God created the world in six, is staying the same. The middle line is going down at the same rate that the top line is going up. So the people that believe that God created the world through evolution is going down at the same rate that atheism is going up. So the bottom line, people are secure, right? We believe this and we hold to this and nobody's going to change our mind. But the problem is that middle line is getting worse and worse and worse. Now again, we didn't have to deal with this, but now there's more and more atheists that are popping up that we're having to deal with this in. In 1 Chronicles chapter 12, we find the sons of Issachar being commended because it says of them and the sons of Issachar, men who understood the times with knowledge of what Israel should do. Right? So these are men who understood the time in which they were living. We need to understand our audience. We need to understand the people that we're talking to. Do we wonder? You know, I preach Jesus and I teach Jesus and just nobody's listening. Do we understand our audience well enough to know that preaching Jesus to certain people may be nonsense to them? I have a friend who teaches history in a public school, and he said they were going through a section on world religions. And he started talking about Muslims, and he started talking about their worship. And one girl, sophomore in high school, raises her hands and she says, "What's worship?" She had no idea what the concept of worship even was. Now, if we, again, preach and teach Jesus to that person, it may not make sense unless we build the foundation that God has told us to build first. There's a story, and again, Ken Ham tells a story, and I heard him speak, and he told this story. If you don't know who he is, he's the Creation Museum and the Ark that's there in Kentucky now. He's the one that did that, but he tells this story. He says when he first came to America, he's from Australia, they first came to America, he gets a call from one of his business partners, and he says, "Hey, what are you doing right now?" And he says, "I'm nursing the baby." Well, so the person on the other side of the line, they kind of chuckled. And they said, "What?" He said, I'm nursing the baby." And he's, "How? How, you know, what's going on?" Well, in Australia, nursing the baby just means like being a nurse. You're taking care of the baby. You're babysitting, in essence. You know, making sure that it, you know, gets diaper changes and gets fed when it needs to and you know, all of those things. That's what nursing means there. But he's talking to an American audience where nursing means something completely different, right? When we hear that, it means something else. And so this person is trying to figure out, well, how are you? And so there's this disconnect that we see. We need to know who we're talking to when we're talking about God's word. So look at Acts chapter 2. We're not going to go through the whole thing. But this is what we typically consider God's or Peter's first sermon. In Acts chapter 2, he begins this way. "Men of Israel, listen to these words." He says seven words to get their attention. And then what's the first thing he says? Jesus. Right? "Men of Israel, listen to these words, Jesus." He gets right to the point. Right? He doesn't have to say anything more than that. And he gets right to the point talking about Jesus. Well, the Jews already knew about God. The Jews knew that God was the creator of the world and that he was the only God. So they already knew that. And so Peter builds on what they already know. That foundation has already been laid. Now, notice what Paul does in Acts chapter 17. So as Paul is going to Athens in Acts chapter 17, he's waiting on some of his friends to get there. And as Paul often does, he's got a hard time just sitting and watching and listening. right, to everything that's going on around him. It's said of Athens that it was easier to find a god than it was to find a man in Athens. So if you go into the city of Athens and you say, "Where, you know, can you tell me where Tony Huntsman lives?" They're going to say, "We have no idea." But if you walk into the city of Athens and you say, "Where's the sun god? Where's the moon god? Where's the god to this star? Where's the water god?" Everybody knows where they are. There were so many mounds, there were so many gods, but everybody knew where they were and where to go to worship those gods. And so this is the city that Paul is in, and he's looking at it and he says, I really can't keep quiet anymore. And so we start in verse 22 of Acts 17. And Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I observe that you are very religious in all respects. For while I was passing through and examining the objects of your worship, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, neither is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all life and breath and all things. And he made from one every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation, that they should seek God, if perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. For in him we live and we move and we exist, even as some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Being then the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone or an image formed by an art or thought of man." All of those things that you have all over the city of Athens, right? "Therefore, having overlooked the times of this ignorance, God is now declaring to all men that all everywhere